welcome to iForumRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iForumRx, and joining me today is Kirby Wellston and Beth Phillips to talk about the use of renin-angiotensin system blockers for the treatment of hypertension in patients with diabetes. A recent meta-analysis published online in January 2016 in the British Medical Journal questions whether diabetes is truly a compelling indication for the use of ACE inhibitors and ARBs, which have been recommended over the past two decades by many clinical practice guidelines as preferential treatments for patients with diabetes. Dr. Wellston and Dr. Phillips wrote a commentary for iForumRx entitled, Think Before You Make a RAS Decision, Reevaluating the Use of RAS Inhibitors in People with Diabetes. Dr. Wellston is a PGY2 ambulatory care pharmacy resident, and Dr. Phillips is the Rite Aid Professor of Pharmacy Practice at the University of Georgia College of Pharmacy in Athens, Georgia. Kirby, Beth, thanks for joining me today for the iForumRx podcast.
Thanks, Stuart. We're really excited to be here and talk about this today.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
So, Kirby, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled Diabetes Mellitus as a Compelling Indication for Use of Renin-Angiotensin System Blockers, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis of Randomized Trials, to someone who hasn't read that paper, what would you say?
Yeah, so this is an analysis that compared our RAS blockers, so our ACE inhibitors and our angiotensin receptor blockers, to other major antihypertensive agents, so our beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, and thiazide diuretics. In patients with diabetes, looking at the outcomes of death, cardiovascular death, myocardial infarction, angina, stroke, heart failure, and revascularization, as well as end-stage renal disease in over 25,000 patients. So RAS inhibitors were compared to each individual drug class, as well as the combination of the three drug classes. With over 95,000 patient years of follow-up, this meta-analysis failed to show that there was superiority of RAS blockers versus other antihypertensive agents for the prevention of hard cardiovascular or renal outcomes, except for heart failure, in which RAS blockers were superior to calcium channel blockers.
So Beth, every study has strengths and weaknesses. In order to conduct a study, even a meta-analysis, the researchers must make some methodological decisions. And these decisions not only influence the results, but can unintentionally introduce bias. First, tell us what you believe are the key strengths of this study. And second, tell us about any potential confounders or sources of bias in this study.
Well, this was a meta-analysis with a very large sample size. It included over 95,000 patient years of follow-up. They compared the RAS blockers to the most common antihypertensive agents, and they also evaluated a number of different cardiovascular outcomes. However, there were several limitations to this meta-analysis. First of all, there were very few studies comparing RAS blockers to thiazide diuretics or beta blockers. And probably one of the most important things is that the diagnosis of hypertension was not required for inclusion of the study into the meta-analysis. The meta-analysis also excluded placebo-controlled trials, such as the HOPE study, which has demonstrated cardiovascular and renal benefits with RAS blockers. Many of the results of the meta-analysis were strongly weighted on the all-HET trial, as this was the most number of patients included in the meta-analysis. This meta-analysis also combined studies with very different primary endpoints. And lastly, the end-stage renal disease evaluation was based upon studies with different strategies for evaluating renal disease progression.
So, Kirby, the results of this meta-analysis are in contrast with what we've been recommending for more than two decades in most clinical practice guidelines, including both the American Diabetes Association and the American Society of Hypertension's clinical practice recommendations. Indeed, most health professionals, and I'm certainly among them when I was a student, have been taught to preferentially use RAS blockers in patients with diabetes because their use leads to improved outcomes. Do we have it wrong all along? Should this paper somehow change what we do?
Yeah, so with the new update in the 2017 ADA standards, They've recently revised their recommendation on initial antihypertensive agents for patients with diabetes to include any of the four major drug classes, and they actually cite this meta-analysis as justification for the recommendation. However, as Beth has just mentioned, this meta-analysis does have several limitations. One place we do know that these agents should preferentially be used are patients with diabetes who also have albuminuria. We know that a large portion of patients with diabetes are going to develop some degree of renal dysfunction secondary to their diabetes and will require a RAS blocker for renal protective effects to either prevent or delay the progression of albuminuria. So if we know that many of these patients are eventually going to progress to this and require a RAS blocker, why not just start with that up front? And so I think this puts us in a situation where if we don't start with a RAS blocker, patients could potentially end up with unnecessary medications. So if we just started out with that initially, maybe the patient will only need one additional agent and they'll already be on the appropriate agent if they do develop some degree of renal dysfunction.
So Kirby, I want you to imagine you are seeing a patient for the first time in clinic today, a 62-year-old Caucasian female who's been referred by her primary care provider for follow-up and management of high blood pressure and diabetes. The patient was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes a month ago, was started on metformin, and the patient states that her blood glucose readings are a lot better, typically less than 100 milligrams per deciliter in the mornings. In terms of antihypertensive medications, the patient has taken chlorthalidone, 12.5 milligrams daily for the past 3 years. She measures her blood pressure at home 2-3 times a week, typically in the morning, just before taking her morning medications. And when you look at her log, you see that her systolic blood pressure readings are in the range of 134 to 150, and her diastolic readings are somewhere between 70 and 86 over the past month or so. And then you look at her blood pressure readings in her chart, and you notice that at her last primary care visit, her blood pressure was 136 over 78. And today, her reading in clinic, taken by the nurse, was 138 over 72. And you get a reading of 142 over 80. Would you add an ACE or ARB to this patient's regimen? Or would you switch chlorthalidone to an ACE or an ARB? Or would you continue her current regimen, increasing the dose of chlorthalidone? And finally, would your decision be any different if this patient was African-American or a male?
So I think there are some things that I definitely need to know first before I think about adjusting this patient's antihypertensive regimen. One of the first things I want to look at is the patient's labs, look at their renal function and their potassium, especially because these agents, RAS blockers, the thiazide diuretics, can affect both of these laboratory parameters. But one of the most important things that we need to look at is the microalbumin to creatinine ratio. If this patient does have albuminuria, I would more than likely switch her to an ACE inhibitor. She's on a relatively low dose of chlorthalidone and possibly a little bit uncontrolled at home. In clinic, she's been controlled or slightly above goal with her reading. So I think that she could be controlled just on a single medication. So I would switch this patient, if she did have albuminuria, to lisinopril 20 once a day from chlorthalidone 12.5 milligrams daily. If she didn't have albuminuria, I think I could justify increasing the dose of her chlorthalidone to 25 milligrams a day, just because some of her in-clinic reading today from the pharmacist is a little bit above goal, as well as some of her home blood pressure readings are above goal as well. And the ADA and the American Society of Hypertension guidelines really don't have as firm of a stance on race impacting initial drug therapy compared to the JNCA guidelines. So I don't think that my recommendation would change if this patient was African-American. And I don't really have any justification to say I would change therapy based on gender of this patient as well. So I think it is appropriate to continue her regimen if she does not have albuminuria, or switch to a RAS blocker if the patient does have albuminuria.
Thank you, Kirby and Beth, for joining us today to discuss the use of ACE inhibitors and angiotensin receptor blockers in patients with diabetes. It's clear from your comments that you believe that these agents still have a very important role to play, and that for most patients, we should continue to use them as first-line agents for the treatment of hypertension and who also have diabetes. But tell us what you think. We welcome your comments. Only iFarmRx members can leave comments and use the interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFarmRx. It's free. Sign up today. Until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iForumRx, signing off.